Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. Do you like this cadence? If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 118 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is February 19th. And guess what? It's still Black History Month, which means I'm not doing the usual shit I usually do for these shows where I read all the news headlines and we go over, you know, who liked what from the Nintendo Direct today and what was shown and why and how. We're just going to talk about black issues and black people in gaming because it is what? Say it again, Black History Month. And it's just that time to do that, and you have to put up with it because I said so. And you're not going to turn this off. Like, you know you're not going to do it. Just listen to me talk amongst my friends about black people. Thank you very much. Anyway, let's get to the show. So I've got two guests. I'm first going to introduce one guest. You know him from previous episodes. He's been on before and you loved him and I did too. Please welcome back Kyle Royce.
Hello.
Kyle.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was just talking. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I just had like literally like a 9-hour stream and had like the craziest, weirdest morning. So,
yes,
we were talking about this previously.
Yes, off mic, we spoke about the dream that you had. Very sorry to hear about your. Yes.
It was a lot. Yeah, it was a hell of a lot.
It was a hell of a lot. Well, we're glad to have you here. Don't worry. No scary neighbors from your dreams can hurt you here. Or do anything else to you here. So, you're safe here. You're welcome among friends.
Happy.
Mm-hmm. we also have a new friend here, a new friend who I'm going to allow to introduce themselves.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I am JV. I am JV Hampton Van Sant. I am a voice actor and podcaster and very, very occasional streamer.
I know what that's like.
Yeah, like very sporadic.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
We love the voice acting, podcaster, sporadic streamers here on the Weekly Cooldown, so welcome.
Yay. Yes, welcome. Welcome.
So let's talk a little bit about both of your works, your creations. Kyle, you do streaming, am I correct?
Yep. I stream. I am a musician as well, actually. Next month is my birthday, and before my birthday, I'll be releasing my very first independent single, so I'm really happy about that.
Ooh.
So I'm pretty excited.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Can you tell us what it's called? Can we get a snack pack?
It's still under wraps. It's still very much so in the, you know, development phase. So I don't want to say too much about it right now, just in case, like, if I'm like, you know, I get to the point, I'm like, damn, I don't want to release this one yet. Let me go back to this other song.
Sure.
That's fair.
Well, we will look out for it all the same.
Yes, but I will say that it will be absolutely badass. So,
hey, see, that's good news. We love to hear this on this show. We love badass news.
Hell yeah.
So, JV, what about you? What do you do?
I am currently doing. Well, let's see. I'm hosting a podcast where I read people's tarot cards on a pretty weekly basis. That's pretty fun. That's called JV Reads the Tea. I love it a lot. I love doing that one. I'm also right now in the process of editing 15 episodes of a audio drama, a microfiction audio drama. So fortunately, the episodes are pretty short, but it is set like about a year after the events of the Birds of Prey movie from last year. And yeah, I'm I'm enjoying editing that right now, and I can't wait for people to hear that when it comes out on my birthday in exactly a month from when we are recording this.
Wow.
Wait,
so I got 30 days to get all these episodes done.
That's crazy. Our birthdays are 3 days apart. Did you know that?
Oh, snap. Hey.
Wow. So not only do we have two whatever zodiac sign March people here.
Pisces.
Thank you.
I know
nothing about it. But we also have two birthday releases coming out. So that's very exciting.
Yeah,
I'll look forward to those in March. Mm-hmm. And we'll be on our way to the spring too. So honestly, God bless you both.
We shall bring the cold springtime.
Yes, make the cold go away. I'm sick of it.
Same shout out to all of the people in Texas.
Yes. If you are somehow listening to this and you are in Texas, please be safe. Turn off this podcast if you need to keep warm. Like, whatever you have to do to stay safe, just please do it. I know what it's like to be in freezing temperatures during a massive blizzard, so be safe, please.
Yes, very, very please.
That being said, we have one more question to ask you both about your video game habits, because the world needs to know what you have been playing this week. Kyle, tell us right now.
Okay, so I mean, of course, I play way too much Apex Legends, way too much. But other than that, my friend just got me into World of Warcraft.
Oh,
so that's been interesting. And then, in addition, I love being a Viking in Valheim. It's so good. That is such
is
a great
good?
Game.
You like it?
It is. Wait, you don't like it?
I haven't played it yet, and I hear a lot of good things, and I am skeptical because it's still in early access. So is it really as good as everyone, including yourself, say?
It's worth it. Like, I mean, number one, they're charging only $20 for it, which I think is an appropriate price point for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition, like, there is a lot that you can do in the game. There is a lot. And it's very, very fun. It's very, very dynamic. You could play with friends up to 10 people in the same server. You essentially can level. There's a whole bunch of different skills that you can learn. There's swimming. There's archery. There's jumping. There's running. There's, you can build your, I'm in the middle of building my mansion on my island. So I'm very excited for that to finish.
Oh, a mansion.
So, yeah.
Oh, look at
multiple
you
rooms.
In a mansion. Okay, I see you.
I'm making, and because I already made one house. We made like the community house. It's called the Love Shack. But then I went off on my own and I decided to create my own little like vista. So that's my current goings on in Valheim.
Good,
I need to make a raft next, and I need to go on the sea.
Wait, so you have a mansion but no boat?
Yes. I know, I'm a very unprioritized Viking.
Well, I'm gonna be real, that feels like that makes sense from a survival standpoint.
Let's build my big ass house first and then the raft. Not even the boat, the raft.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty puny.
That makes sense to me.
I love it.
I'm gonna be real. I didn't know that game existed until just now. But looking at some images of it, it looks pretty good.
It's very, very fun.
Hmm.
And like, I'm not the type of person who's like sandbox, sort of
crafty.
Exactly. Like that is not me at all. And like that game is like, like chef's kiss. Yeah, like it's really good.
Excellent.
Very good. Very good. JV, what are you playing?
I have been playing almost exclusively Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Now, I resisted playing Assassin's Creed for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I tried it on a different console a while ago. And it was one of the older games, and I don't know, it just wasn't jabbing with me back then.
Sure.
And then there was a sale. I play on the Stadia, and there was a sale that had a bunch of games for almost nothing. So I got them and was like, now I need to get extremely into Assassin's Creed so I have to justify those purchases. So I played all the way through Origins, loved that. That was incredible. And now I'm just making my way through Odyssey. I technically have, in the last week, finished the core game in Odyssey, and now I'm in the Fate of Atlantis episodes. So it's
very
quite
good.
Exciting. I feel like I'm bad at this game, but I'm going to keep doing it, and I really enjoy it.
I don't know that there's, like, some super optimal way to play any Assassin's Creed game. So if you have gotten through the core story and you are kind of coasting along, I think you're doing fine.
Yeah.
You're all right.
Like, I'm surviving. I just, I don't know. I'm in a little moment where I have to, I have to battle Hades, and I'm not not quite sure how I'm going to do this. Like, I don't know. I've attempted it twice now and lost both times, so we will see. I'm going to keep going until I get there.
Huh. Perfect.
That's going to be a challenge, let me tell you.
Man, that's now you do it. I love speedruns, yeah. And now that you said, like, optimal way of playing Assassin's Creed, I'm literally going to be watching that as I go to sleep tonight.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've only recently gotten into speedruns. Shout out once again to Speed Dad, who has been running Little Nightmares speedrunning.
Little Nightmares. I need to play
which
that.
Which is a very good game to speedrun, at least for me, because it has the most of... or rather the least of those, like, little break the game glitches, which I don't necessarily like as a speedrun strategy. I usually like people to, like, have to battle against the clock and against the mechanics of the game to speedrun it.
Totally.
And Little Nightmares is, like, the perfect game to do that in. And watching him do it is, I don't know, it's mesmerizing almost to just sit there and watch him somehow shave seconds off each time he does it, and it's fascinating to me. But only recently, because before I was like, hey, fuck this is kind of boring, I don't understand what's going on here, why are they doing this, clipping through the wall, half A presses, what's that? And right. I just wasn't about it.
I have never actually seen somebody do that, with the exception of, I think, somebody showing me a video but not explaining what I was watching.
Cool. I love
so, like, I don't know what the fuck this is. Like, what exactly is interesting about this thing? And at that point, I got distracted by graphics, so, like, I don't know. I don't know. But in any case, that sounds like a fun thing. I should probably look into watching somebody
cool.
do any of these, because
there's a whole, like, charity designed around speedrunning too, so that's cool.
Yeah.
I liked that part of it. The rest of it I could take or leave, but
I always
the charity,
like,
part was cool.
I always just like watching them because I feel like of course it would be gamers who would dedicate thousands of man hours.
Oh my god!
In thousands of titles to, you know, literally optimize, like, literally fractions of a second, and it's one of the, I feel like, one of the most amazing feats of humans.
You're right.
It's just it's just really stunning because, like, I guess I haven't really tried to speedrun anything except for maybe Path of Exile, but, like, the amount of concentration and, like, you know, coordination that you need to have to do some of these things that they do in speedruns, it's ridiculous. It's amazing.
I think it also spawns from, like, achievement hunting, which I'm really into. Yes. Because you would always get those like hidden achievements in video games where it's like, if you beat this level in 5 minutes, you get this thing. And so like, maybe it became its own kind of species from developers putting in their own little, like, I beat this game in 1 minute. Why can't you? And you know what I mean? Those like little achievements that they like to throw in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Competitive natures. Gotta love it.
Resident Evil has that. And I love Resident Evil, but I will never, ever be able to speedrun one because, first of all, even though I know, like, just about everything there is to know about 90% of the Resident Evil games, I always end up getting lost still. Like, I don't know which door to go into. I don't know which door, which key opens which door. I never know that, like, right out of the gate. So it would take a lot of, years for me at least to be able to speed run a game like Resident Evil 1 or even 0, which is a lot more linear, or 3. I could never do it, but shout outs to the rest of you who can. You make the world go round.
Totally. I did just remember that there is another game that I have been playing consistently that I
please
do
tell us.
Forget to mention it. It's Injustice 2. I play that like daily and I forget to mention that. I don't know. I just love it.
I haven't played a fighting game in so long.
Do you wanna? Yeah. Which one do you wanna play?
Injustice. Mm-hmm. I would love to play that. Oh. That's actually probably one of my tops. Yeah. Well, Street Fighter's just like Street Fighter's great. Street Fighter 5.
I'm very excited for Guilty Gear Strive because I love
the Guilty Gear. It looks so beautiful.
I love anime fighters so much. And I've been thinking about getting into Tekken. I don't know. Like, I haven't played Tekken since 3, maybe, but I really enjoyed playing Tekken when I was younger. So I was thinking maybe I'll give it another try. Like, maybe I'm better at Tekken than other fighters. But then again, I'm not very good at fighters at all, so we shall see.
I'm not necessarily the best. I'm not the best. I've just practiced a whole bunch with very specifically, like, 3 characters in that game.
Yeah.
The one I play with the most, surprising nobody who knows me, is the Black Canary. I'm very, very, very good at that. With her. And I... Yeah, I love that game so much. But that's
kind of what you do with fighters. You kind of find your 1 to 3 characters that you're decent at, and you practice them over and over, and then you register to do tournaments and lose at tournaments and keep losing until you win at tournaments.
Oh god. By the way, sounds intimidating as hell.
Just in terms of Black History Month, by the way, yes. And you just mentioned Guilty Gear Strive. Have you seen the new character, Giovanna?
Yes.
From Guilty
Gear? Yes.
She looks like she's literally my favorite character ever made in any anime style game ever. She's so she has a spirit wolf. And yes. It sells it. I don't know.
There's also Nago Ryuki, who is a black vampire samurai. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. He's gorgeous. He's got big old muscles. I love him. I want to give him a hug, and I'm going to probably main him if he's okay with the way I play video games.
what was his name again?
Nago Ryuki. Nagoriyuki. He's black.
I didn't realize that.
And he's beautiful. And he...
Because he has the mask on, so I didn't...
He fucks shit up, too.
I didn't notice.
Yeah.
He's, like, unapologetically black, too, with his, like, facial features and everything. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's
great. Are there pictures with him without a mask?
Yeah.
I am a
Google it, check out the images, and
oh shit, he has fucking dreads. Oh
yeah, he's beautiful.
Yes, honey. Ooh.
He's absolutely beautiful. Very excited.
He got the yes honeys coming from the Jimmy over here. I love it.
I am feeling this character a lot, actually. All right. I'm gonna close that tab.
Well, you know what? Listen, there's nothing wrong with being horny for characters. I will say it here on this podcast. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I just don't want to lose concentration at all. So I'm just going to close that.
Well, you know what? It's a good thing we segued into fighting games, because we are going to talk in a moment about some Black gaming topics, of them including where we need to see Black people and people of color in gaming. So the question I propose to both of you is, where do Black people and people of color lack in gaming? Where do we need to see more Black faces? There are tons of stories about there needing to be more pro esports Black gamers, and I agree with that. However, it would be very remiss of anyone to talk about pro gaming or esports without talking about the fighting game scene, the fighting game community, which kind of bubbled out of arcades, and which are, while still mostly white and, you know, is still the most diverse of all the gaming circles, the gaming communities. And that has had a lot of Black people kind of propping it up and doing their best and winning, honestly. So we have most especially, who's been on the Evo stage many times, Sonic Fox, of course. And honestly, like way too many others for us to name here, which is a good thing. We like that. But is there anywhere else where we need more Black faces in gaming?
Well, I kind of had I have two answers for this question.
Okay.
And the very first answer is in, because of course, you know, like you're thinking about like in gaming, but we need Black developers, and not just independent Black developers, because we know, I think that if you are in the gaming space, you know that there are Black people there, you know that there are indie developers who are putting out things, but ultimately a lot of these things never really get to shine because they get, you know, just pummeled by, it's just a very competitive space, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you also need a ton of capital in order to really flourish and advertise and have that spotlight. But we need Black developers in the AAA gaming studios. We need them to want to make their workspace diverse. And then in doing that, you're going to get more diverse stories out of your video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that, I would say literally the exact same thing. That was definitely the direction I was headed with it. With that exact question. Yeah. And sort of selfishly in relation to that, I would say it would be nice if there were more of us behind the microphone too, just in general. Because I find it adds a lot of really nice dimension to all of the, like, to any character that I'm playing, if I, you know, if I recognize a little something in one of the characters that I'm playing, you know? It's just nice when that's present.
And also, I mean, not only that, but I think we all know that, and this is off of what JV was saying, you know, I think that we all know the whole trope of the Black voice. Oh, you don't sound Black. Or, oh man, I knew that he was Black because I talked to him over. You know, like you have that Mr. T voice that always shows up in freaking Gears of War.
Sure.
And I'm like, can you please get this voice out of what? Not every Black man sounds like this.
Absolutely.
It really just frustrates me. I mean, like, listen, there's three Black men in this podcast. None of us sound even remotely close to that.
like the stereotype. Yeah, exactly. I was actually going to say that without, like, hopefully offending any of us. But it's true. None of us sound like you would know from speaking to us that we're Black, right? Like, it doesn't come off in the voice because we're not doing that so-called stereotypical voice. And actually, this brings up an interesting point. There's a, I think it's Ace Combat 7 character. Can't remember his name, but I remember a friend of mine coming to me and saying, so this character from Ace Combat is like a black military captain, and I just found out he's voiced by a white man. And I said, that shouldn't bother me as much as it does. And it's largely because when I listened to the voice, they were doing this kind of guttural southern drawl, right? It was the three things that make a black character, according to this person. Really deep voiced, very kind of a smoker throat, and southern. And it was these those criteria. And it's like, not all of us, though, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, not. I would say probably very few of us. It's just like,
sure,
yeah,
like probably exactly like maybe, you know, 5% of the population sounds like that. Maybe, you know, maybe a little less than.
Like, I will say it's one of my favorite voices to do. It's not one I can do super well for an extended amount of time. I have a sore throat right now, otherwise I would actually try.
I was just about to ask. I was like, I kind of want to hear this.
I played some metal in my car earlier and was screaming, and this was a bad thing. I've now hurt my throat. I have hurt the moneymaker, as it were. This is a problem. I should have not done that. But anyway. It always bugs me when that happens, because the reverse of that never happens.
Right.
Mm.
Like, the reverse of that, yes, you hired this black person to voice this character who seems to be white, despite the fact that, well, one... we can, and not only can we would probably be better than 90% of the ones that I've heard.
I would be happy to voice a white character. Can you hold on?
Oh yeah.
Like add for myself right now, if you're listening, put me in your whatever. I will play a white man. His name must be James. Okay, thank you.
There you go.
I mean, please continue.
And it'll work perfectly.
Waiting for the James character to come out in 2022.
And it would work perfectly fine, but we don't see that because, well, also, high key feel like the market is oversaturated as far as voice actors are concerned.
No, that's true.
That might be the pandemic talking a wee bit there, but that's fine. If there were more characters available, like if there were more characters like us already just around in general, it would be easier and less stressful to like for those for like people attempting to. Now that I say that, that is actually the thing that bothers me when a character is voiced by a white dude, when it is a black character.
Mm-hmm.
With so many of us just there and available, I don't understand why, like, why not just match that up just a wee bit? Unless they're so deeply concerned about the problematic things that are within their script that they know that they will not only get called up, they will get dragged all across social media for the problematic things that they have said, which,
Yeah, that's a whole...
That's not great either, but I mean...
A different can of worms.
Yes.
But no, I get it, though, because it almost makes sense, at least to me, that you would do talent searching in the same way that you would with white people to get the voice that you want. So you can still, you know, open your big book of voice actors, sift through the, you know, all the black people and say, okay, let's do yours. Okay, let's see how you sound. Okay, let's keep going until you find the right black voice that fits your black character. Likewise, I have to say, I don't know, aside from maybe, Phil Lamar, any black actors. Phil Lamar's wonderful. I don't know if anyone who's ever done like Monsters or you know, like villainous type things. Usually, like the black voice actor gets matched to a black thing or a black person. Where I feel like it also could be that I could voice a monster or like a fish. Like, I don't know. Like, I can voice anything. If you give it a voice, that, you know, you can put someone else in that role. It doesn't have to be a white person.
You know, I've like, been I feel saying, like, the last year that the one thing I want to do is be either a monster or just any kind of villain. I just any kind of villain. I would. I love villainous roles. They're
it's
very
the role
fun.
You're born to play.
I just want to be evil for 5 minutes, please. In that voice, that's the evil voice. That's the villain voice there. Midwestern like, child. Yes, that is the voice I will use when I have to voice a demon. Because why not? Anyway, I don't know.
Kyle, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that. You know, I feel like it really is perfectly fine for anybody to voice anybody, because I feel like any...
Yeah.
It's like when I was watching Star Wars and when I was younger, and I didn't know that, you know, like, Darth Vader was voiced by a black man. Like, I just thought that it was a voice, you know? So really, anybody can be any voice, but the fact is that it's not an even playing field. And there are so many people who are already entrenched in the voice acting industry who are, you know, unfortunately not POC or not black. And because of that, the black people end up losing a whole bunch of opportunities, and they don't even get the people, they don't even get to play the roles of the people who look like them, you know? And that, that's really just the thing that's the hard thing to get over.
Yeah. So.
But yeah,
that is indeed the black experience, as it were.
But
what a shame.
I did have another area where I do want to see more black people in video games as protagonists, and not the, once again, like, not the stereotypical trope, you know, muscled up huge, like
Barrett. You can say Barrett.
Yeah, exactly 100%. Yes, Barrett, not Barrett. Just like with every single game, you know, every single game has a white character as a protagonist, you know. Some of them have a female. The vast majority of them are white men, and every single white man is different. Why is this so difficult to see this in black people?
Sure.
I don't get it. Like, you can have a white guy who's blonde, a white guy who's, you know, who's a lumberjack, a white guy who's, like, kind of, like, you know, growing up, and, like, it's sort of a coming-of-age thing. Or, like, you know, like, sort of the anime characters who are really supposed to be Asian but are co-opted by white people constantly.
Right.
And, you know, like, they get all of these different faces and all of these different attitudes and characters and personalities. And meanwhile, the black people just get... You know, oh, that's the black guy. You know, like, I'm sick of it.
I would like to see, and this is like a lofty dream, truly, but I would love to see, like, a JRPG where the character is many shades darker than they usually are. And they have the same kind of story arc that the protagonists go through, like that... I'm going on a big, fantastic journey with these assholes to, like, save the world and find love and all of those, like, wonderful, tropey JRPG things, except make them black or brown. Like, you're...
It's also not even that hard, though.
Like, yes, right. Exactly.
Like, what? The same as that game, just make them black.
Yes, exactly. It does, like, you don't have to even do the gameplay different. It can be... you can make Final Fantasy 15, but with a black person as the protagonist, a black person as the prince or the would-be king or whatever. Like, it's the exact same game. The only thing that's different is the color of the skin of the person you're, like,
putting the face of the game on, right? Like, they're not second fiddle. They're not a sidekick or a secondary protagonist. They are the face of the game, period, point blank. That's it. Like,
yeah.
Why is that difficult? Why is that hard?
I will also note, for a lot of animators, I have several friends who work in animation at this particular moment in time, and one thing that I've been talking to them like about recently is in a lot of ways black hair will just be easier to animate just in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I don't think it's that difficult to animate. Mm-mm. I can't imagine why it would be. Particularly for I guess it would a little bit depend on the character type and like the style you were going for, but with most of them it wouldn't be that difficult to animate. It would actually be much easier than all of the wild amounts of ridiculous detail that need to be added to these
fine stranded humans.
Yeah, like why? Fine, oh my god, it bothers me. It bothers me so much. It would just be.
I can't believe you said that.
Well, it's true. I mean, so like you can have for what it's worth, you can have the same hairstyles on a white person on a black person, but the same is not necessarily true to go from black to white. So. What you get in my opinion, in doing varied black hairstyles, not just, afro, bald, or, more recently, like dreadlocks, but what you get is a more robust, like, resume or portfolio. Mm-hmm. Like, not only can you animate, like, fine stranded humans, but you can also do curly, kinky hair. You can, you know, you have varied styles. You have, a large repertoire of things you can do. And I think more than anything, that should help out everyone in the gaming, you know, developing sphere, because it opens up the floodgates to, more diverse characters. More diverse staff, in so far that you both have the skills to, develop and make these characters look close to whatever the concept art is. And just like a better gaming developing area. Like it just comes out on top for everyone. That's
in addition to that. I would like, just generally, for everybody, more customizable leads.
Yeah.
Just in general. Like, one of the things that, this game has had a lot of problems, just in general, and I'm just going to say that now. But one of the things that I've enjoyed about playing the demo of Baldur's Gate 3 is how customizable all of those characters are. Or at least how customizable the lead is. That has been an absolute delight. Could they go farther? Yes. Yes, they can. And hopefully they will consider doing so. It's more... with that, it's more that, like, some facial features they could have allowed to be they could have allowed the nose to be like a little bit wider.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like yes. Something like that, where I was like, this is just a personal thing that's gonna bother me. Like
There's
really don't want this person
there's to actually a
look white but as if they are wearing blackface.
Right.
That's not what I was aiming for.
There's actually a tweet I saw recently where someone said if the character creator only has like a few shades of skin color and like three black hairstyles, I'm out. And that's kind of a decent like point of reference, because Baldur's Gate has a decent amount of customizable options, but some of them don't combine as well with the others because it just kind of looks like, as you said, it's like a white person in blackface. So there's definitely work to be done in a lot of games to make character creators and making the lead character look a bit more robust in the options that you're getting to kind of make that perfect character that we're all looking to create in these video games. Final Fantasy 14 has a terrible, go-to for black hairstyles. They only have maybe two for males and three for, female characters. So it's like, it's not great at all. The only time they ever use the afro, which is what they have as one of the options, like on NPCs, is if the NPC is a joke character. So it's like, there's a lot wrong. Not only with the, choices that are available, but the application of those choices later on.
I would love it so very much if these very easy things to fix, like, it's not, they don't take that much to fix them, just from what I've observed.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't take that much to fix them. It's just a matter of thinking of doing them and making them available.
Yeah.
And that is apparently too big of an ask, and I don't understand why that
we're not there yet, I guess. And it's terrible that we're not there yet.
One of the worst side effects of that too is that when a game does finally want to, you know, incorporate a black character in some way, shape, or form, all of a sudden that makes it political. And
yeah,
like, they're like making this huge statement because, oh, they wanted to put a black person in the game. Oh, now it's a, you know, it's a politically correct game, or they're trying to appease the woke crowd or whatever the hell it is. But meanwhile, no, maybe it's just a normal character.
Maybe it's just
they're just trying to diversify. Like,
maybe it's just a character. You know what I haven't seen? I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, tweet at me if I'm wrong, honestly. But, like, I have not seen, like, a black character in a horror game. Like, why would that be political? Does not everyone do horror? Is that what it is? What is the problem?
White people don't get scared.
White people get scared easier, I guess. Is that what it is?
Here's my take. And this is a wild take.
Oh, no.
But it is simply that we don't make as bad of decisions that we cannot move the plot forward. And that,
well, then.
Yes, the game starts with the black protagonist driving up into Silent Hill, and they're like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, I was like, I'm done. Well,
the game instead is...
Oh, absolutely not, I'm leaving.
The game instead is the protagonist going back to their mother's house and being like, I tried to go, and I just didn't want to, so...
I was told to go to this Raccoon City by this white girl. I was like, not today.
Nope. That's the last time I used Tinder in the Midwest.
Absolutely not. I like genuinely do believe that is one of the reasons. Anytime I see a black person in a horror movie, they are the least believable human being in that movie.
Sure.
For the very simple reason of like,
they're there.
Oh, girl, I know you got more common sense than that. What are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Come on. Like, wait, what? With the noted exception of I'm thinking of a movie at the moment.
Get Out? Although Get Out does touch on some of these things, to be honest.
So that one was one where I was like, okay, I understand why he didn't leave, and that is ultimately because he couldn't. And like at that point, I'm like, well, okay, you created a reason and answered the question of why is this person still here with all of this creepiness around.
Maybe
like,
therein,
that made me happy, but
maybe therein lies the answer. Like, we don't get the traditional like zombie shooters or like Silent Hill-esque type horror. We get Out, and that's our horror game. And to whomever is listening to this podcast who is a game developer, go ahead. It's yours. Go make it.
Please,
it's all you.
God, I will play it. I will play that.
Mm-hmm.
I will I will voice act in this thing. For this is a thing. Like, that's, it would be so, oh God, it would be so very good. And then, like.
Also, just saying, besides that, I know it is Black History Month as well. You know, I know. I'm sorry, Black people. But I just have to say, in addition, I really just want to see a whole lot of different people in as the protagonists for every game, you know?
Absolutely, yes.
I really love the entire, like, one of the reasons why I love Apex Legends so much is because they have a huge diverse cast.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they kind of, I don't know, there are some missteps that they make, and I think that having a more diverse development team would absolutely help with that.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, probably. You know, like, these are like, I guess, small victories that I appreciate, because
absolutely,
you know, having two Black women on the roster in one game, that. Like, what?
As we spoke about last episode,
unheard of.
Lifeline,
practically unheard of.
Lifeline and Bangalore, perfect humans.
Mm-hmm. And preferably, and this is my call out of Injustice 2, don't make us the skins that are applicable to a white character. I'd rather not. I'd rather just be the original character put in the game, because I don't know.
That feels wrong.
Maybe because...
Because they're still voiced by the same person?
Yeah.
Maybe because Vixen is just a better character than Cheetah. There we are. I've said it.
Interesting.
And also her power set, completely the hell different.
Oh,
and
man.
To just keep the same, like, they're two very different characters that have nothing to do with one another. And to make her the skin that you have to also pay extra for, which, what?
Comic book fans agree with you, I hope.
I'm certain. Because I know I'm not the first one to say that. It bugged me when I realized it.
If you're on Twitter, they will run with that. They'll say, like, oh, you're making the Black skin a costume. Like, I will tell, like, they will drag your ass to hell for that stuff.
Also, she's the only Black woman in that game, which does not make any sense at all to me. There should have been more than
Black DC heroes. Yeah,
there's others in that game. There's Green Lantern, again, a skin that you will have to unlock.
Annoying,
but he is there. There's who is the other one? There are like four. There are really not that many. There are just like four. But of course, they're the ones that I have those characters set to as like the default skin whenever I play any of those characters. So there is that. But like, it would be nice if we were at least considered to be some of the main characters. It would just be nice to be there in that way.
Very true.
Speaking of, I do want to send a little shout out. I'm going to be sending this link over to you, by the way. There's a great artist. His at on Twitter is Sober Pen, as in like getting sober, S-O-B-E-R, Pen. And his name is Dan Ziver. And he has a project that he's been working on. And he's a Black artist, and he creates essentially Black anime. And his characters are badass, like legitimately everything I would ever want out of a Black anime. Like,
excellent.
He's great. So I'm gonna send this over to, I guess, Kami, but also Kami, please send this over.
We'll
to
all me. Get it. Yeah, we'll all get it.
Please, yes, I would like this. I would like this.
Very
greatly.
Good.
I've been trying to signal boost him for a while, but you know it's difficult out here on the street. So we gotta get it where we can.
It's hard out here for an artist. We are going to take a quick break, super quick, and we'll be back with more show.
Breakity break. Woo.
In a world of of What Are Yous? Welcome to the place where the answer is always human. My name is Natalie, and I'm the host of Some Kind of Brown. I was born and bred in the Southern Bible Belt of the U.S., and if you know anything about the South, growing up multiracial was some kind of an experience. Join me in this community where I share my stories, am joined by guests who share their own, and talk about pop culture events that affect us as mixed people. You can find Some Kind of Brown on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and most places you find podcasts. I'll see you there with some more Shades of Brown.
Is that an ice cream?
Take Up Space podcast is where we discuss self-awareness and growth while learning to advocate for ourselves. There are many instances where we shrink ourselves to make the people in our world feel comfortable at the expense of our thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and voice. Join us every Tuesday on YouTube and wherever podcasts are found for new episodes. We also go live on Facebook and YouTube on Thursdays. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Take Up Space Pod for more info. That's Take Up Space POD. Thanks for listening.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. So, we're about ready to wrap it up, but before we do, we have one last thing to speak about, and that is the focus on Black history itself, because game history is also what? Black history. That's what it is. So, we're going to talk a little bit about some Black history peoples, Black gamers, Black developers. We've spoken a little bit about that already, but we're just going to go quickly down the little rabbit hole here. Most people already know Jerry Lawson, who is an engineer who was credited with creating kind of the first video games. He's from Queens, New York, so like New York represent all the time.
Shout out to Queens. Woo.
Most people, I don't think, know about Ed Smith, also another Black video game pioneer, as most people would call him, from the 1970s. So there's, like, we're there, right? We helped create this. Also, by the way, he's from Brooklyn, New York. Like, we represent New York, Black New Yorkers. We did it. It's ours. Okay. Hey, do you understand? Hell yeah. It's ours. We did it. So there's tons of faces, tons of names to know. Tons of people in the industry to know. So we're just gonna chat. Do you guys have any to add on to? It's okay if you don't, cause like, this is the reason why we're doing it.
Yeah. I don't. In theory,
do you have any current Black people, developers, gamers to shout out? Anything goes.
None that I can currently think of, but that's just because my brain is not great.
You know what? I agree. My brain is also not great.
Like, my brain is failing me right now, and I feel very bad that it's failing me about it, but...
you are fine.
Who...
Kyle, do you have any?
I mean, I have people who are just in my sort of streamer circle that I kind of want to shout out.
Yeah, let's hear it.
First off, there's... I would probably say very first would probably be Kiwi on the Sticks. She recently just got partner. Very, very entertaining. She's a Black woman in gaming. There's a lot of people who are just enamored by her, and it's really easy to see why when you go over to her stream. She's just very lovely and lively, and she has a great energy about her. There's also great friend Ruoni Shogun. He is actually this month interviewing quite a few people and doing a lot of segments on Black History Month, you know, topics about the Black family, about, you know, segregation coming from the civil rights era and then coming to now, and like how we can improve and what we need to do in order to, you know, see ourselves in a better light. And other than that, there's also, I just want to send a quick shout out. I just played a game with him today for the very first time, by chance, actually, right before this podcast. But it's also Kareem Cheese. He's another partner on Twitch. He plays a lot of Apex and other things. But he's another guy who's just great energy and really fun to hang out with.
Very good. Very, very good.
Oh, I JV. Did think of a friend that I'll shout out as a streamer. Her name is Persephone. She is a Black woman. I am trying to pull up her profiles because I haven't watched her in a minute. But I do know she's been doing a lot. On it and doing pretty well. Her name on Twitter is Persephoroth. She also does a really good job of like shouting people out too, like almost daily. So she's pretty great and one of the people I've been watching rather a lot. There's been a little bit of time since I have, but you know.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. We had Kiki X Baby on last week. Make sure you check out Kiki X Baby.
Yes.
Ash Parrish, who is someone I kind of look up to. I'm saying their name wrong. I'm sorry. they are a staff writer at Kotaku now. Always looking for more Black journalists, especially in the video game sphere. So we're happy to see Ash is out there doing her thing. Let's see who else is on my mind, like all the goddamn time. The Purple Sharpie is wonderful. Fighting game, like pioneer. Always fun to check out her stream and see what game she's playing, and she does really, really good like improv basically on her stream. It's a lot of fun to be there. She has really good setups too, like professional setups, really good. I like Zombie Kills. Love to see her first of all, like knocking back the haters, because she does that very well. And also she just has a great stream. It's wonderful to be there. I'm probably forgetting people. Check out Black Girl Nerds, yes. Black Girl Gamers, all the Black Girl websites and Twitters and all of them. They're wonderful. They're great, great, great. And like I said, this segment was mostly to show you that we are here, right? We, as I said, Ed Smith and, Jerry, last name I'm forgetting already, Lawson. Mm-hmm. We are the pioneers. We're still here. We're trying to get into your faces so you know that we're here, you sons of bitches. Go check us out and learn about us and see what we like and play video games with us. It's all we want to do.
Hell yeah.
That's it.
Facts.
Hell yeah.
Facts. And that's all this segment was for. It's time to wrap it up. Let's do so by letting the listeners know if you have a recommendation. What game should they be playing or should they be on the lookout for? Kyle, start us off.
I'm going to go right back to Valheim. And then
okay,
like, and also just saying, if anybody wants to play Apex with me, I'm always looking for people to play with. I don't care what your level is, but just come over to my stream and you'll definitely be playing some games.
Very good, very good, very good. I might take you up on that because I want to get back into it, but I don't know.
It's such a good game.
It's a good game.
It's honestly, it's the worst relationship of my life. It's honestly abusive. Oh. But
but that's how I feel about Overwatch.
Going back, man. I just can't get away.
That is absolutely how I feel about Overwatch. But I need to first of all, I need to take up your advice on getting a new monitor because I'm still playing on my TV. So I need to stop playing on my TV and start playing on a true computer monitor with all the gigahertz and nonsense all up in that business. And I would love to play Apex Legends with Kyle Royce at twitch.tv.
Mm-hmm. That sounds so fun.
Although Kyle Royce plays, so important.
That's correct. We will get there. JV, what about you?
So I'm going to say that if you were at some point playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey and stopped before you finished, go back to it and go and do more of it because it is giving me all of the sanity that I require to stay alive at this moment. This is a weird non-gaming recommendation, because I've developed a weird obsession. There is a turtle who saw the end of slavery, who is still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He's seen, what was it, 35 presidents, I think?
Fascinating. Absolutely.
Yeah. And has been attempting to mate with a male turtle for about 20 years.
This is wonderful.
Congratulations, yes. Man.
I love 30. All of this
news. I don't
news.
Know. Anyway, his name is Jonathan, and I love this turtle. He can't see worth a damn, but I love him. he can't see due to cataracts, and he cannot smell anymore. But I mean, at 189, like, if you can't smell anymore, I think that's excusable. at that point.
Even as Jesus a turtle. Christ. Absolutely. I love this turtle.
Also, he's a little bougie. He only eats imported fruits.
Oh my God.
Right.
This turtle's living the dream.
I genuinely love this turtle.
Still a single bachelor turtle chasing after a man lived for 100-some-odd years and eats only the finest. Amazing.
It's so cute. It makes me so happy. Anyway.
This is great.
Things that'll provide joy for lovely, lovely people. That is just the knowledge that turtle is still alive.
And shout out to Jonathan.
And has seen all of these things.
Absolutely amazing.
And hey, while this turtle is still alive, let's see more representation happen so that he can have witnessed the end of slavery and also more representation in everything.
Amazing.
There we go. Don't disappoint Jonathan. Developers.
Make it full circle for Jonathan the turtle.
Developers, don't disappoint Jonathan.
Do it for Jonathan.
Naming one of my kids Jonathan now.
Aw.
Just because you have to. I don't know what to recommend you, and here's why. Last week I recommended The Medium, and I still kind of recommend that. It definitely has some kind of problematic story elements, but it still really shines in the story, rather than in the gameplay, which is what most people go for. But it's still a really good piece of video game media. It's worth a play, especially if it's on sale. It's not a full $60 game either. They have already, it's not marked down. It's at $40 or $50. So it's worth it at that price, but it's more worth it, of course, if you can find it on sale. So check that out for sure still. But I want to recommend something new and I just don't have it this week. So I think instead, I'm just gonna give a quick shout out to the Resident Evil 8 or Village demo. Give it a try. See if you like it. Maybe you'll get scared by the vampire lady instead of aroused. Who knows?
I highly doubt that people's reaction is going to change.
but one can only hope. Check it out. See if you like it. I think I'm going to have a great time with Village. I still kind of hate the first person view thing, but I'm a Resident Evil truther, as they say. So give it a try. Check it out. See if you like it. That being said, we gotta move on for the last piece of this episode. Finish it off, put the dagger in the heart. Please let us know where we can find you on the internet, and if you have anything else to plug, JV, let's start with you.
Alrighty, you can find me at Red Black Golden. Black is spelled B-L-A-Q-U-E, because it's fancy. Like me. Anyway, you can find me there literally everywhere on the internet. And one thing that I have coming up, this drops on Friday, yeah? This will drop on Friday. If you are interested in perhaps checking out a tabletop stream, I will be at chimera.games, I think is where you would go to find it. I think that's the link that you would type in. It's a... It'll be sort of later in the evening, but...
A genre blending powered by the apocalypse RPG.
There it is. It's quite fun. It's quite fun. I get to play somebody who's been cursed by a god. Anyway, just always very fun good. Things. I
don't bury the lead. You're cursed by a god.
Yep.
That's great news.
That's been cursed by a god, and it... and. Now have bird-like things that are just that just casually crop up.
Excellent. Yeah,
but I am doing that, and also keep an eye out for Birds of Prey Outcry, which again in a month that will be out in a month. God damn it will be out in a month. I cannot have it not go out in a month.
Very excited.
I need it to happen. Anyway, it'll be good.
Very very good. Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Kyle, your turn.
You can find me at twitch.tv/KyleRoycePlays. Mm-hmm. And also, I am on Facebook and Instagram under Kyle Royce World. And also on YouTube under Kyle. It's K Royce II, but it'll soon be Kyle Royce World.
Very good.
Word.
And, very good. And.
Also, get it all out. You'll also see me when I release my single under Kyle Royce and the World. So that'll be on Spotify and all those other great places under my artist name.
Woohoo!
Very good. Very good. Alrighty. As always, you can find me at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WK Cool Down, exactly how it sounds. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page, I guess. I have not updated it, as I've said. It's been a little derelict, but people seem to be visiting it still, so thank you, I suppose. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Podchaser. You don't have to. If you review it on Podchaser, you don't have to review it on Apple Podcasts. Sound like a deal? Are you going to do it now?
Please.
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Please.
Okay, great.
Do it.
Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And, of course, support your favorite charities and support the show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian of Doghouse Esports. Follow him at Doghouse Corgian. That's DoghouseCorgian on Twitter. And, finally, our intro music is done by Zach Breider of Captive Portal. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
I'm JV, yes.
And I am Kyle. And also, JV, I just saw your hair on Twitter. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you. that just made and me happy.
We will see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.